Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, it is by thy mercy and by thy grace that thou hast given us another day, a day in which we can come to worship thy great name, a day in which, O Lord, we can rejoice together with our dear brother and sister who have come together to be married, to begin their life together in Christ the Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we open thy word of life, that thou would speak mightily to each one of our hearts. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would be the one who would speak to us, that we would feel thy presence. As, Lord, we have gathered in a number that is greater than two or three, thy presence is here. We believe that, O Lord, and may we feel that, and may we respond with our hearts, O Lord, and knowing that thou art here with us. So bless us as we have come together, bless us as we read thy word, and bless us, O Lord, as we meditate upon these truths. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, I'd like to remain with the traditional scripture that is read at a time of a wedding, and that is in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter number 5. I would like to read the first two verses, and I'd like to continue with verse 21 to the end. Želim da se pročita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Efesima, peta glava. Želim prva dva broja da pročitam i onda da nastavimo sa 21. broju do kraja.
Efesenci 4:5, primele două versuri, continuând cu versul 21 până la sfârșit.
And these two first verses, I believe, really set the tone for a marriage, for a life in Christ. For every believer, our direction really comes in these first two verses as we read, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." May God bless our reading, and let us stand for a word of prayer. God is asking us to be a follower of him. So, in order to follow anyone, we have to know them. You can't follow someone that you don't know. So the question that we have for ourselves today is, do we know God? Do we know him? We know that the demand that God has placed upon his creation is to follow him. And so as we study this word of follower, in the Greek, a word, it actually means imitate, which we know that as a child will imitate his father or his mother or her mother, the imitation comes from an adoration to that person that they look on and want to be like. It's an expression of an adoration for that person that is imitated. And so we cannot, and that child studies their mother or father and knows them and knows their actions, reactions, and they do the same. They learn from them. And so if you and I are being called to be a follower, an imitator of God, how are you going to do that? How am I going to do that unless I know him? And how am I going to know him unless we learn from his word? Because God sent Jesus Christ in the flesh to show us who God is. So we can see who God is, but he only reveals himself to those who desire him. And so when we consider the life or the answer to life in any form, whether we are single, whether we are married or engaged, as this young couple is, the direction that we receive in life, in everything that is of any meaning, is be a follower of God. But he goes on in verse number 2 and he says, and he says, and walk in love. So how are we to, who is God? Well, God's name is love. God is love. And so the Apostle Paul says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us. And he gave himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ is the sacrifice of the burnt offering. The burnt offering that was offered in the time past was a complete offering. It was a complete offering. He gave everything. And Christ was that burnt offering. And he gave himself for us as a sweet-smelling savor, a sacrifice to God for you and for me. When did he do this? When we were in sin. When we disobeyed him. When we didn't love him. When we didn't know him. When we weren't interested in him. Jesus died. And he says, walk in this love. The love that is willing to sacrifice himself, itself, for the object of the one he loves. And so when we are called to imitate or walk and follow Jesus, why does Jesus say, follow me? Because the paths that Jesus will take are the paths of life. They're the path of light. It's a path of peace. It's a path of joy, the inner man that this world can never give. The $10 million cannot give you. That poverty cannot take away from you. It is this walk with Jesus. And I challenge each one of us who are married or single, and to you, Brother Olaf and Sister Angelica, that this is the answer to life. And so the question is, do I know God? And is the life that I live a life that follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, my Lord? Am I following him? Because in my following of him, I have to forsake everything. I forsake me. Jesus came and he showed us. He was an exact follower of God. He said, I do nothing but that which is my Father's will. I don't do anything of my own. I do my Father's will. And so Jesus revealed God to us. And he says, follow me and follow God. Imitate God. And so does my life, brother, sister, ask ourselves, do our lives show that we have forsaken all others? Forsaken, and we are, and we do. My will has become the will of my Father. My will has become the will of the one who I adore. And so, I think that when we reflect on our life with the Spirit of God, that he will quickly reveal to us where we have taken paths that were alluring, that were enticing, that showed us a different way that maybe is going to make me feel good and make me depart from the ways of the living God who loved me and gave himself for me as a sacrifice. And so when we begin to speak about submission one to another, when we begin to reflect on the teachings of the Apostle Paul, who likens the life of a husband and a wife is to be such that the relationship is to be such as that of the church and Jesus Christ. None of us here will think of submission as something that is to be feared. None of us will think here as a headship would mean as something to be someone who we can inflict our own desire upon and they have to follow. Would never become that. Relationships become complete. Godly, when we are followers of God, as dear children, children who have been washed by the blood of Christ, children who are sanctified, this is the following. This is the following of God, the sanctification process. We are made clean, it says here, by his word, with the washing of water by the word. We're sanctified and continually cleansed because his word brings us to his cross. Where all self will go away and we become followers as his dear children who he has brought into the body, his church, to glorify him and to worship him. So a marriage is something that was instituted by God. We know that. And it is the heart of man that seeks to defile that, that seeks to ruin it, to deconstruct it. And it can only come from a disobedience to God. When we submit ourselves one to another, Apostle Paul is saying one to another. That means we never want to lord over anyone. We have to consider that the love of Christ, as he who loves the church, so a husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Brother Roloff, Christ has called us as husbands to love our wife as he loved the church and gave himself for it. The love is of such that he gave himself. And we look at Christ today as one who doesn't forsake us, who doesn't turn his back from us. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't nitpick at us. He expresses his love to us. And that is how a husband is to express his love to his wife. One that is sacrificial. One who never thinks about himself, ever. He thinks about the good of the one he adores and loves, his wife, as Christ adores and loves his church and gives himself and sacrifices himself for it. He says, no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. What does that mean? If my arm is hurting and hurting, and I'm just giving an example, if I'm not going to just ignore it. I cherish it. I need my arm. I'm going to seek to make it right. And so he says, no man hates his own flesh. You take care of yourself, he says. You take care of yourself. He goes, so, and you nourish it, even as the Lord does the church. And we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And so when we come to the realization of what my role is, what God is calling me to, there's no way I can fulfill that unless I become a follower of God. And so as a husband, as the head of a house, as the head of a home, as the head of a family, there is headship. It's God ordained. It is up to the husband. It is up to the husband to seek out and to have a deep, deep spiritual relationship with his God. You cannot do that unless you are a follower of God. And so we have to ask ourselves, brothers, husbands, what is my headship in the family like? Is it one that is easily provoked, easily mocks, easily puts down my wife, easily seeks or is easily provoked? Well, the Apostle Paul says that's not a way of love. Brother Robert mentioned in the prayer that we love and we continue to grow in love because that's who God is. And so as we have sensed that and felt it ourselves when we became a follower of Jesus Christ, that love continues to grow. Love can never reach a plateau where it says, okay, this is the most that I can love. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, than to give himself. We can only reach the zenith of love when we've given our life. And so as long as we are alive, we continue to grow in love. And so as we are being called upon, as the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body, So he speaks here of the roles. Husbands, he says, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Now we have to consider what he is speaking. That as the church is subject. This is the submission. When has Christ ever asked you and me as the members of his body to submit ourselves to a point where we are mocked, or to submit ourselves into a beating down of mental abuse, or a way in which I would submit myself unto Christ in a way where I'm fearing him or trembling in a manner of, no. He's speaking here of a subjection because of love. How can I become a follower of God unless I love him? And he says here, and as the church is subject unto Christ, as we submit unto Christ as a church, as a body of believers, he says, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You know, in the beginning, in the first two verses, he speaks of a following of God. And in the second verses, he speaks of some pretty ugly things, of things that we are to be have departed from. And so when there is a subjection unto Christ, we gladly submit to him. Why? Because he is our head as a church. He is our head. He looks out for me. And Christ never wants to exact something on me for his own pleasure or his own desires, but he does it for our good. And so, as a husband is to love his wife, as a husband is to serve his wife, he would never seek to degrade her to fulfill his own desires. And that can turn ugly because he has lost his sight on God. And then demand from a wife that she is subject unto him. The calling of a husband is great. The submission of a wife is great. These cannot be met without following God. I believe that we can stand and give cliche comments and sayings. Never leave without saying I love you and so on. That's all fine. It's beautiful. But love should never have to be spoken. It should be felt every day. That is not the only way that I can express my love, by saying it. If those are the only words that our wives will hear from us, I love you, and yet we place upon them demands or things that would degrade or one or to act as we lord over them, what use is the cliche? The prophet Amos says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? You and I cannot walk with God unless we agree with him. We cannot walk with God unless we're in agreement with him. That means that I have to know him and his ways. Do I agree with him? Do I agree with him that this is good for my life, what he said? The humility in which he walked, the servant heart in which he showed. Why were the people, they said, never a man spoke like this. What did they mean by that? Surely they had heard many philosophers. The philosophers of the age had already come and gone. And every philosopher, as he spoke, that philosophist and his sayings, once a greater than him came, his were forgotten. But when Christ spoke, they said, no one ever spoke like this. Why? Because he showed us who God is. You're not going to see that from anyone else. There's no wisdom in this earth that can bring that about. God revealed himself in Jesus Christ, and he showed us a pattern for which to live as believers in Christ, as married, as single, as lovers of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, we know that Eve sinned, Adam followed, but God came down and he asked Adam, where are you? Where are you? He was the head. He was the head. Where are you? Why were you not following me? Your wife sinned because your life wasn't in order either. Where are you? So God is asking husbands, and really all of us today, where are you? Where is your headship as Christ who serves the church? Where are you in that role that I have placed upon you to serve? Can we walk together? Why does Apostle Paul say, then we are to marry in the Lord? Because two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. As a member of Jesus Christ, as being a member of the church, being baptized in the death of Christ, following God, being a follower of God, one would never seek to marry one who is an unbeliever, one who does not follow God, because they're not agreed. They cannot walk together. So when we seek a spouse, as Brother Roloff has, he sought a sister in the Lord, and God has placed upon his heart Sister Angelica. And they must be in agreement with God. All of God's ways must be their ways, must be our ways. And the love then that grows, as the love that grows, because it's no different, as the love that we have for our God grows and continues to grow, it cannot reach an end, so our love for our wife will grow. And grow. How can it stop? How can it stop? It only stops when we look elsewhere. When there's allurements that come along, and Satan fills our minds, and we walk away from the paths of God, we can expect in our own spiritual life a dissension, a backsliding. Because if we are not followers, if we're not walking with God, God is walking. God is walking. Jesus is following. That means Jesus is going. Jesus is walking. If we're not walking with him, we're backsliding. Don't think it, brothers, a small matter to not be the priest of the home. Don't think it no big deal. I have my own task. I have my own role. I need to work. I need to be a provider. You are the priest of the home. And so, as we have here before us, dear ones, a portion of scripture that I'd like to actually just read in Romans 5. What God's love is towards us and how we are to also love. He says, for God commendeth his love toward us. These are the things that I mentioned earlier. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the love that we are to display. This is the submission. This is the priesthood of a home. This is the headship. This is who a wife submits to and loves and adores. Why? Because she knows the husband has absolute love for her because he loves God first. And he would never ask her to do anything that would cause her heart to think, does he really love me? What do we do? Does God ever question our love for him? We will fail in the home. We will fail with our children. We will fail in everything in our life. We will make a shipwreck of our faith if we're not followers of God. And so, dear ones, as we close, Jesus says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. Jesus said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. God joined. The only way a man can put it asunder is when he no longer wants to be joined unto his wife or to her husband because of selfish desires, because the love is not pure, the love doesn't grow, the love lacks. Why? Because the following of God has begun a backsliding. That begins, and everything crumbles, and there's mumblings, and there's grumblings, and there is a wife speaking to others how her husband is no good. There's talk. Imagine going to someone and saying, Christ is no good. But rather, when we come together, we're to build one another up. We're to seek help from one another, all based upon the spiritual truths that God has called us unto and shown us, so that we can say also, no man has ever spoken like this. No man has ever given me the direction in life so complete that no matter what I do, he has given me a direction for that life. And so it is my desire for you, Brother Roloff and Sister Angelica, that God would bless you and keep you, and above all, he can do that when you submit yourselves one to another in the love of God. May he bless his word upon our hearts. I'd like to leave room for Brother Matei in the Romanian language.